Chapter 3. All glory and growth were given to you. So far, everything's been great at Corinth. The best people ever. And then, that which is written was fulfilled. And here's a quote from the Torah, from Deuteronomy 32 in the Song of Moses. My beloved ate and drank and was enlarged and grew fat and kicked. What does this refer to? Well, this is a loose translation of Deuteronomy 32:15, where it speaks of the success. Moses warns Israel about success and prosperity being the thing that leads them away from the Lord. And so this is what Clement is saying. Your success and your prosperity, the success and prosperity of the Corinthian community, led their hearts astray. From this came jealousy and envy, strife and sedition, persecution and anarchy, war and captivity. So men were stirred up, those without honor against the honored. So now this is Clement's perspective on this schism. Those of no repute against the highly reputed, the foolish against the wise, the young against the elders. And we could look this up and see that he's quoting more or less a loose quotation of Isaiah 3:5. That's not what's important here. What's important here is that you see what would you call it? This it's not really a schism as much as it's a coup. You know what a coup is? Yeah. It's like a coup here, in that there's been, it's a mutiny. It's a mutiny. Exactly. For this reason, as it says in Isaiah 59:14, righteousness and peace stand at a distance, while each one has abandoned the fear of God and become nearly blind with respect to faith in him, neither walking according to the laws of his commandments, nor living in accordance with his duty toward Christ. I think this is really important that you just see how he has, on the one hand, neither living according to the laws of his commandments, this is the Torah, or on the other hand, living according to with his duty toward Christ. So you see these two things that define Christian life. Living in accordance with the laws of the commandments and living in accordance with the duty toward Christ. And the word duty towards Christ is a very interesting Greek word. Let me see if I can find where I have it here. Politenethesai. It's a compound word that means to live in a manner befitting of a citizen. So I translated it as, instead of duty toward Christ, not living in accordance or not living as a citizen of the kingdom of Christ. It's sort of maybe not a very literal translation, but I think that communicates the idea of the word. You see, in Roman society, and remember Clement is in Rome, a big part of Roman society was your patriotism, your loyalty to the state. Are you performing your, you know, everything is citizen, you know, everybody addresses each other as citizen. Are you contributing? Are you abiding by the law? Are you contributing to the state? You know, the well-being of the people, of the whole, of the politic, the body politic. And so that's what's going on here. He's invoking that imagery, but he's applying it to the kingdom of heaven. Are you living as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Are you contributing to the kingdom? So, two things that define a Christian in the first century, right? What are they? Number one, walking according to the laws of his commandments. Number two, living as a citizen of the kingdom of Christ. Instead, each follows the lusts of his evil heart, inasmuch as they have assumed that attitude of unrighteousness and ungodly jealousy, through which, in fact, death entered into the world. All right, when it says death entered into the world, do you see in your translation that that is in quotation marks? Death entered into the world. This is a quotation from another non-canonical book. This one's from the Apocrypha, though. It's called Wisdom, the Book of Wisdom, or Wisdom of Solomon. And here's the actual verse. God created man to be immortal and made him to be an image of his own eternity. Nevertheless, through the devil's envy, death entered into the world. Okay, so according... Oh, that's a good verse.
That is. Through the devil's envy. That's really
tough. Yeah, I need to remember that.
Read it again.
God created man to be immortal and made man to be an image of his own eternity, of his own, you know, well, immortality.
His own, referring to who?
God's own. So he made man in his own image, is what he's saying. And in that sense, he intended him to be immortal. Nevertheless, through the devil's envy, death entered into the world.
I do like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's very deep. Because it has to do with the creation legends of the fall of Satan. You know, in the beginning, God said to the angels, "Let us go and make man in our image and in our likeness." And this got the angels arguing. Samael, the prince of the angels, led the opposition and said, "Let him not be created." And while they were arguing, Hashem went and created him. And then came back and said, "Your argument is useless because it's already done." At that point, Samael took his followers and they rose up in anger and descended to the earth. And they found the serpent, the sly and wise serpent. And Samael possessed him as an evil spirit possesses a man. And that's the story behind the story. And that's what the Book of Wisdom is alluding to there.
Where is the... In the one of the letters, is that reference to just as death entered the world through the one man, so life enters through the one man?
Yes, right. So yeah. That's in Romans and in 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah, I'm working on the reason that's all fresh in my mind is that that's what I've been working on this week. I've been working on Parshat Bereishit, you know, because I'm to that point in the cycle where I'm, you know, getting ready for the fall. So, I don't want to get sidetracked either. But I'm sidetracking myself. I missed a reference that I wanted to also make earlier in the verse. He said, "Instead, each follows the lust of his evil heart, inasmuch as they have assumed that attitude of unrighteousness and ungodly jealousy." All right, so when he says ungodly jealousy, the Greek word is zelos, which we could translate as zeal or zealotry. All right? And I believe that this is going to become a key word through the book of Clement. So I want you to catch it, zelos, zealotry. And Clement is using this word in the same sense that the Zealot Party used it in their war against the Romans that led to the destruction of the temple. And we studied this when we learned the book of James a few years ago. We learned this idea, and James brings it up in James 3:14 through 16, where he warns against the Zealot Party. And so in your notes here, I've got a reference to the Talmud. Where it says, "Why was the second sanctuary destroyed despite the fact that in those days people occupied themselves with Torah, commandments, and charity?" All right? And the answer is because baseless hatred prevailed within it. This teaches you that baseless hatred is considered more serious than idolatry, sexual immorality, and bloodshed all put together. Because for those three things, the first temple was destroyed. But those three things weren't there in the second temple era. There was just baseless hatred. So for that reason, the concept of zealotry, zeal, the zealot party and their baseless hatred that they exercised, has this, these words should be connected, these concepts should be connected. Jealousy, zeal, and baseless hatred. So whenever I read Clement say jealousy, I want to think in my mind baseless hatred and zealotry. Okay?
Is that something from my own perspective? Would that be kind of like a terrorist sort of a category or something, or what I would consider to be suicide bombing sort of thing?
Yeah.
Along those lines.
Yeah. All right. One more chapter, and we'll be done tonight. Okay.